What's up, y'all? What it do? How y'all doing? We're out here living our best life today. But again, I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited. So, first of all, welcome to everybody that can see me. And come on, these glasses, y'all. And to everybody that can hear me, hey, I'm waving at you. How you doing? And so I am like really excited. Okay, so again, welcome. I'm your host, Shatoria Christian. I am Shatoria Brand, and we are out here just doing great things, living our best life. All right. So I'm really, 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 really excited about today's show, though. Today's show is going to be dope. I'm really excited about the conversation, who I'm having the conversation with. I'll get into how I met this young lady, OMG. But today's conversation is about moving into self-uncomfortable. We got to be uncomfortable sometime. And so I'm going to ask a question that's going to lead into that. So I need y'all to like be ready, because I got some questions about you, about being uncomfortable or uncomfortableness, self-uncomfortableness. That's what we're going to call it. Self-uncomfortableness. So we'll get into that conversation. In the meantime, you know, I got to come in and make sure everybody is good and just seeing how everybody is doing as we are in a new year. I'm still rocking, you know, Christmas, because y'all, it is one of my favorite holidays. I love Christmas. So my husband be laughing at me, y'all, because I don't want to go back and live in DC. And let me tell you, like, that is because it's just way too cold for my comfort. Now don't get me twisted. Texas doesn't get cold like it need to until like January, February, March time frame. But y'all, I can't do the COVID. So no. So for those that cannot see me, I'm rocking red lipstick today, as this is the month of January and I represent my mom in this month. So I'm just rocking a little red lipstick today. I did some errands today, but I was mom today, you know. So being mom required me to go in and get my daughter her retirement ID card, y'all. So let me tell you, it is crazy when you are officially retired from the military, because, you know, things just seems really different. It does. It's just real different. So, yeah, I'm going to tell y'all that story of what happened here in a second. But, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about being uncomfortable. Self-uncomfortableness is what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about being retired. Like, we're going to talk about it, what it really means to be retired at 40. All right. So, no, I love you guys. And, hey, we about to get it in. See you in 30 seconds. All right. So let's talk about this retirement thing, y'all. Retire at 40. So here's the crazy part. Went in, did what I had to do today with my daughter to get her retirement ID card, y'all. And so I'm like real retired. To where somebody asked me a question about a regulation today. And I was like, I don't remember. And they was like, sorry, Christian, it's not like you just got out of the military. I mean, you've been out of the military. You literally just retired. I was like, ooh. I ain't worked in uniform though since February. Ugh. As a matter of fact, February 16th was my last day. Ooh, and that was a half a day at that. I don't remember. So a friend of mine reminded me what I had. So I hope y'all can see this. Smell like it's not my problem anymore. Y'all, I was really tripping. So yeah, smell like it's not my problem anymore. And so I was really driven, because I was like, I don't know the regulation. Like, ooh. And I ain't gonna front. I be watching people sit back and they chill and they be like, I know you see that person with their hair out of the regulation. I be like, yep. Smell like it's not my problem anymore. So for everybody that is listening, I'm holding a candle a friend of mine gave me. And it says, smell like it's not. It says, smell like it's not your problem anymore. And so I'll be telling myself that, smell like it's not my problem anymore. So with that being said, one of the things that I have learned is to stay in my place. Let me tell y'all something. One of my things I tell my students is, it does not cost much to mind your business. Ah, I stand on that. It don't cost you nothing to mind your business. Not only that, mind a business that pays you. And here's the thing, we're not getting paid to mind other people's business, okay? So we really gotta like learn that. We are not getting paid to mind other people's business. Like, we're not. Unless you out here being a news journalist and stuff like that. I mean, we're not. But hey, it is what it is. So yeah, today I had an opportunity to go get my daughter her retirement ID card. And she was like, oh, am I getting old? I'm like, wait, what do you mean? She was like, am I getting old enough to get a retirement ID card? Girl, you should have been had this card. You should have been had a card. I just ain't renewed it because you always with me or your dad. So it is what it is. And she really like threw out the old word today, y'all. Oh, ma'am, who? Don't do that. That's disrespectful. Y'all, she almost got disowned today. She old. No. So yeah, I took offense to that because you're not about to sit here and be calling folks old. And she was like, well, ma'am, you know, mom, you and dad are old. Don't do that. So yeah, I got a whole 9-year-old who feels like, you know, she grown in a way. You know, she 9, be acting like she's 19. But you know, hey, I'm just saying. But, you know, it is what it is. But anywho, glad you guys can join us today. You know, if you are listening or you are watching, thank you again. Please know you can check us out on YouTube where you can see me and my beautifulness. And yes, God, you see the locks are just flowing and glowing. And then also, you know, you can hear us on iamshatoria.podbean.com. Also, you can hear us on Amazon, Google, Apple, what else? Pandora, Spotify. So we got plenty of places that you can hear us on. So I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But you know, yeah, I feel like a real offended today. Okay? Like real offended about that. But we don't let that slide. All right. So one of the other things I wanted to get into today as we're getting ready for our guest today is what I not too long had said about the uncomfortableness. And that is moving into self-uncomfortableness. And yes, we got the question changed because I was like, moving into self-uncomfortableness. Like, we got to be able to, like, do that, okay? And so one of the biggest things about moving into self-uncomfortableness is knowing when it's time to budge and how we are not successful in what we're doing. And so that's one of the biggest things. That's why I'm really excited about the young lady that's coming today. And I call her a young lady. I cannot wait to introduce her. Y'all, she is absolutely amazing. But yeah, like, a big uncomfortableness for me was just stepping out on faith. See, y'all got to understand, when you step out on faith, there's nothing that can really just tell your part. And so I'm really big about being out on faith. Like, faith is my word. I love everything about faith. I think faith is absolutely dope. Faith is actually my niece's name too. She's so cute. She's a whole adult though. And so, oh, she turned 21. Oh my God. Anywho, so yeah, you have to be able to recognize what is the importance of you being uncomfortable. Because here's the thing, I have this rule: uncomfortableness equals success. Comfortable, you stay content. And that's something I ain't trying to be in my lifetime right now. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to be that. Like, no, I'm not. So yeah, you got to be able to be like absolutely uncomfortable. And so one of the things about being uncomfortable, you get to like reach ultimate goals that you really wouldn't reach if you just stay content. I'm glad that I have been able to move around in a way to where it's like, yeah, let me see what I can get into. I'm just saying, let me see what I can get into. And so with that, I've been able to really push myself into some spaces, y'all. Like, I am like really excited for like a lot of the things that are coming into fruition for me right now, because I'm standing in faith. I'm going to be uncomfortable. Like right now, y'all, I'm very uncomfortable. And I'm not about to sit and pretend that I don't get nervous or things don't make me like, oh. You know, I have moments where I still get anxious, but at the same time, I am trusting God. But there's moments where I do get a little anxious when things start to happen. I'm like, okay, it's coming. So, you know, that's the great thing about that. So I'm really excited about it. So yeah, like, it's the uncomfortableness for me. So the question I have for you is, you know, what makes you uncomfortable and what you need to do to be in a space where, hey, you getting where you need to go. Like, I'm really excited about getting into a space. Like, I need it. And right now, like, I'm looking at my little blackboard, y'all, and I'm like, ooh, we about to get to some places. So, you know, it just all depends. So you gotta be ready, because Lord knows it's real around here in these streets. Okay. But hey, we're here, we're excited, we're doing what we do, and gotta get ready for it. You're like, you got to be all the way ready. And you got to be okay with being uncomfortable, because if you cannot be uncomfortable, then you cannot increase in what you need to increase into. Because let me tell you, it's real out here in these streets. Like, for real. It's really real out here in these streets. All right. But yeah, no, I am like really tripping, y'all. She called me old. I know, I went back to that. She called me old. But anywho, okay. Back to what I said. So yes, being uncomfortable. And so that's what I'm really excited about being uncomfortable. I would tell you, one of the biggest uncomfortableness for me was writing my book. And we're in the process of now writing another one, but Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness, and Freedom. Let me tell y'all something. It took a lot of me to get that book out, because there's a lot of me in that book. If you have not read that book, it's a lot of me in that book. And so one of the things that I'm definitely looking forward to is walking through this book with you guys through the podcast. I'm really, really excited about walking through this book with you guys. I think that's going to be the dopest. So get ready. We're going to start that in February, next month. We're going to be walking through this book and what certain things mean. But you still got to get the book in order to know. All right. Make sure, like I told you before, go on to iamtratoria.com and get your book. Y'all see it down there. I see you. Go get your book. So for everybody who is listening, iamtratoria.com. Go and go to merch. And your girl is a speaker. Go on there and book me for a consultation and be like, what can you talk about, girl? We can talk about motivation. We can talk about love. I can tell you about some transparency, y'all. I'm telling you. And you already know the magazine is here. So, yes. And so I'm really loving this this issue of it, because not just because I'm representing my mom, but downloading transparency is really big. And so y'all, if you know me, you follow me, you really be thinking about me, then, hey, you got it. All right. So I am excited. It is a good day. So I am going to get you guys ready for our guests. In the meantime, as we get ready for our guests, I'm going to have you guys stay put, chill, and I see you guys in like 30 seconds. Okay? Cool beans. We are back. So we are back, as I'm really, really excited about today's conversation. I've already started you guys off with us talking about our title today. And so, you know, I mean, this is a tough title for a lot of people. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation to continue it on. But moving into self-uncomfortableness. So the young lady that I got today, so let me tell y'all, y'all know I don't meet no stranger. That's not what I do. So y'all know me. I love the word faith. And so I did a leap of faith and I signed up to go to this sweatpants and chill event in Maryland. Y'all, it was so dope. My first year going, and it was in Maryland with my girl, Latasha Briscoe. And so sweatpants and chill, you come, you know, not dressed up, but yeah, you come, you be ready. And so I was a sponsor this year, and I had a whole booth, and this gorgeous woman with locks came up to the table, y'all. Y'all, we're talking about locks, y'all. You know, I'm over here introducing what's on my table and stuff like that. And she was like, oh, you good, girl. I was already checking you out. But it was the locks that got me. And y'all, I fell in love with her. And we just literally just instantly connected like the whole trip. And I think we saw each other maybe a couple of times because we was doing so much. But her energy was so dope. And then I got to really meet who this woman was. Y'all, she a whole doctor. Y'all, she's a doctor. And as we was getting ready for this podcast, we had the greatest conversation. Hence why the name, the title, Move Into Self-Uncomfortableness, was brought to my spirit. Because let me tell y'all something, she's about that life. So I cannot wait. So I need you guys. Y'all already know how we do. you know, we mean this for real. I need you guys to give some love to the one and only. Her name is Dr. Truly. Y'all heard I said Truly, right? Dr. Truly David. She is out of Maryland. Welcome up to the stage. Hi, honey bun.
How are you?
I'm so good. So, you know, I am sitting here like, okay, honey. She out here doing her thing, y'all. She's a whole doctor. And first of all, her vibe is absolutely dope. So as y'all, for those who can see us, we over here rocking some red. So I'm really appreciating. And she's in my husband's favorite state in the whole entire world, y'all, which is the DMV area. She's in Maryland. He wants to come back. I told y'all earlier, it's too cold for my nature.
Look, I'm trying to get out.
Look at it.
I don't think
there's a state that has a balanced weather at all. It's just, I think every state at this point is like,
yeah, everybody like has
menopause. It just changes. Just island, yes. Yes. I told my husband, I said, well, you know, we can get a house in DC and just make that like the winter house. I'm just saying, like, make that the winter house where we go since you won't snow so bad.
Well, I would do the opposite. I would do a summer house here. And then all the festivals are happening.
Oh, I like how you said, see, I'm with you on that. And see, I can do down here during the winter because it's chilly down here, but it's hot, hot, hot. But you right. Summer house in Maryland, I can get with you on that. Yeah, we can. Let me have a conversation with Mr. Rum. Like, hey, we can do a summer house. It can be real. We can stay in D.C. if you like. Well, I don't care if you really want to. Because he really wants to, I think he said Upper Marlboro. Maybe we should move to Upper Marlboro.
Whoa. I mean, there's nice places in Upper Marlboro. However, I'm not here for the winter. Like, I absolutely not.
So I have a really good friend. She literally lives in Florida during the winter time. And then they go back during the summer. So they go back to D.C. during the summer. So yeah. I'm good. But how are you? First of all, how are you?
I am doing well. The semester just ended. I am.
Yes. Like, tell people about you, girl. Go ahead, tell them.
So I always have to let people know I am from Detroit, born and raised.
Oh, I got some people. I got some friends who are going to listen to this. They're going to be like, yes. I'm be like, oh, yes.
I always have to let people know that, but I am in Maryland. I am currently finishing on up my time as an assistant professor of dance. I've been teaching for almost 20 years in total. And of that, I did about 15 of those years in K-12. So finally made it out. I survived, made it to higher.
You went to a university of that.
Look, and then it's like, man, these college kids are just like some high schoolers.
I just don't what?
It's like the same mess.
They ain't no different.
You just don't have to call their house. It's just like,
like, you know what? You're just going to get this F. I ain't calling no parents. Your parents going to see it online. Yeah. Academic probation. I don't know what to tell you.
I was like, I told you, read the syllabus.
I told you what we're going to be doing, when it was going to be doing. You knew in advance.
That part. Let's see. I am mom of three. My oldest actually goes to the university, which is hilarious because he doesn't avoid me, but he does strategically work his schedule where he's never really in the building at the same time. And I was like, okay, that's
I fair. Mean, I'm not mad at him. He's like, look, mom, I see you. Does he stay on campus?
No, he doesn't. I want him to, but then also I'm kind of glad he didn't because this year it was a lot of stuff going on campus. So
no, wait, so he stays at home?
Yes.
So okay, I see why he's avoiding you now. Okay, I got it.
So he stays with his father.
Okay.
His two younger siblings stay with me. And for them, for sure, I know they're probably trying to get out the state. They're like, because you'll show up. And I'm like, you're right, I will.
But you know, we're those parents though. Is we holding you all the way accountable.
All the way.
And be like, okay, I'll see you. What you doing?
And they know. And I appreciate that my kids know and they hold it together because they know.
And no, mama be like, look.
Look, mama will drop everything and show up wherever you are. That can be both good or bad. It's up to you.
I don't know how you want it.
It's just like whatever you want out of this is what you're gonna get. But
never.
Okay. Besides, so I'm a professor of dance. So
that's dope. That's really dope.
It should be more enjoyable than what it is. But that's
I have a crazy question for you, and I know we talked before, but I do have a question for you now that you said what you said. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about opening up your own dance studio?
So many people have asked me that question. So many people, and I always have the same answer. I'm like, I don't want that responsibility.
You know what? I appreciate you on that, because at the end of the day, you honest. Like, I don't think people realize what it takes to be in business. It's a lot of tape in that,
and there's so much.
And it been dancing. Like, I used to watch Dance Moms. So see the kids all grown up now. I'm like, oh my god! Yeah. But I get what you said, because that's a lot of work in that. Taxes, making sure every parent understand the rule and understand. Like, I got time,
because I ain't got time for nobody.
Can't dance. So
tell them that, and I'm like, I'm not gonna have no business, because I'm gonna be out here like, okay, your child does not know right from left. There's nothing I can do.
And be like, I'll put them in beginners, and you like, no, they're not beginners, they're professional. No, they're not. They need to be a beginner. No,
absolutely not. And it is so there's that aspect. Okay. There's so dealing with parents. I don't like being responsible for other adults, for real. And I'm like,
teaching college.
And I'm just like, I'm like, this is a lot. I don't like it. And then just the running of the business, I know I wouldn't be able to be in the classroom and actually working and dancing as much as I would like if I were there.
No, I respect that, because you're like a lot of us in the military. It's like we get to a certain rank and we get pulled from management. I mean, we get pulled from being a player to management. Yes. And a lot of us, we don't want to do management. We just want to, be those individuals. We want to be in it. And when you be like, no, I need you to go to this meeting, and you got to go to this meeting, you be like, what?
I'm like, please no.
Now that I'm out, I can really say that meeting could have been an email. There's no reason why we're meeting. That could have been an email. That could have been a message.
That has been my testimony in higher ed, that I'm like, oh, this could have been an email.
I promise you, hold on, this is us in our meetings, but those that can actually see me, we have our little cousin like, okay, you want me to what? Y'all could have sent this in an email, and we having a meeting about a meeting. What we not about to do,
Mm-mm. It's the absolute worst. Like, I am so good now for having my camera off. Because I'm over here the whole time, just like.
You know, and it's crazy, because when we hit COVID just really struck all types of nerves. It was just like, so I got to get back online for this meeting when I could actually be working. Y'all play too much. And I won't lie. Now, I will say it made it convenient to where you could be in sweatpants and have a nice blouse on and go on about your business. Yeah. I will not lie. And I will say, I hate that I waited so long. I'm okay with it now, but I hated that I waited so long to get locked. Because when I had to get on camera, I had to figure out a way to do my hair and stuff beforehand. But you watch people just do this over here and get on line and be like, ready to go.
Before I got on here, I was like, let's just fluff this on out. Let's go.
So I give you mad props. That's why I forgot that I didn't ask you that question when we had talked. Okay. And I'm like, oh, I need to ask her that question, because she out here teaching dance and everything. Because I ain't gonna lie to you. If you was closer, I would have been like, look, I know you ain't got no dance studio, but check this out. I have a 9-year-old. I need to get back into dancing, and I need to swing her your way. Let me know the cost. Let me know what the schedule looks like. I got to keep her busy, because she loves dancing. And so, like, that's her thing. And I will say, when we was in Maryland, that is something that we stay actively doing, is dancing. I mean, I danced in church for years as an adult. Because when I was growing up, dancing wasn't in the church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dancing wasn't in the church.
Yeah.
At all. Flag, all that. No. And so I never forget when I literally started dancing in like 2005 at my spiritual church here in Texas. And I never forget. Pastor was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, word? because you don't see dancing in church. And so to see it now, to see the ministry really blow up as it has, is lovely. Like, I love to see that. And I love to see the people who are definitely gifted in it is out there doing their thing. So, yeah, I forgot to ask you that question. And I was like,
that's all right.
I heard that. Be like, boo, what? Why you don't? But I get it, though. I get it. For those that's just not joining us, we are over here having conversation with Dr. And I'm going to keep emphasizing that. Baby, you earned all of that. So, but with Dr. Truly A. Davis out of the DMV area. And for those who don't know what DMV is, I am not talking about the place you go get your license. I am talking about D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. That's where I was at for like 9 years. And so I met some incredible people. And so I'm thankful for the people that I met that allowed me to be the people like. Truly. So I really appreciate that. And today we are talking about moving into self-uncomfortableness. And I'm really excited about this conversation because, as I said earlier, for me, uncomfortableness equals success. Yes. And a lot of people are not where they're supposed to be because they're scared of success. Mm-hmm. They are scared to be taken out of their box. They're scared to be in a place that makes them vulnerable. And so let's talk about it. So what I want to definitely do is talk about my favorite word in the whole entire world, transparency. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about transparency and what that looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me because I wrote a whole book that put my whole business out on the streets. Yeah. I put my whole business out on the streets, and I never forget writing it. It took me maybe 5 months to really write it. Once God said, "You writing this," I wrote it, and I can't believe I did it. And I wrote all of my mess. Woo. And so after it was published, I was like, oh, I really did that. I really wrote about me in a way to where, you know, if somebody's spiritually not there, they'll look at me and go, wow, so you did that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. I can't believe you did that, girl. You are such, you know, you with Jesus, everything. Mm-hmm, but we weren't always Jesus. I mean, I was, but I mean, you can leave me alone. Don't come up with throwing no stones.
That part.
So that part. Let's talk about transparency. What is transparency for you, though?
So for me, transparency is similarly like being, it's beyond being willing to share your truth. Mm-hmm. It's even when it's not comfortable for you to share it. But because you know the benefit of it being shared, you share it, and you share it in its entirety. That is something, it was crazy. Look, I ain't wrote no book about it yet. I was like, whew. I was like, Lord, don't put that on my spirit.
We'll get to know Truly. Be like, ooh, Truly, girl.
But like in all my years teaching, students have always gravitated to me as someone to mentor them. And, you know, initially I was like, oh my God, why are these kids drawn to me? Like, and it's always the kids when something's going on. I'm like, why are these the kids drawn to me? And then the longer I was in it, the more I was like, because I got out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm talking to them, I wasn't talking from the, I'm always right, you don't know anything, like teacher student type of dynamic. I was talking to them more so in like big sister. That was like, okay, so look, let me tell you. So this is what I did. Don't do that. Like, it's not gonna work out for you.
This is the outcome it's gonna be.
Like, I was like, let me tell you how I know this ain't gonna work out for you. And I would lay it out. And I'm like, okay, well, this is what I did. And I give them the full story. And they're just sitting there like,
oh my God.
It was like, oh my God. They was like, oh, so you actual understand what I was like, yeah, no, I'm telling you. From firsthand experience. Like, for example, I had a student recently who was making just all the worst friendship decisions.
Ooh.
And I was just like, baby.
I know that stage.
I was like, baby, look, come on now. Like, I can see the potential in you to do so many great things. Mm-hmm. And you keep making these choices. And I'm like, they look familiar to me because I've made them. Like the wanting to please everybody, feeling like, oh, well, I'm going to burden you if I tell you what's wrong with me, but I'm going to take on your burdens. And it's like, no, absolutely not. Like, you, at some point, you have to stop that. Like, you have to put that boundary in place. You have to let people know, okay, you know what? As much as I may love you, you can't talk to me like that. And if you continue talking to me like that, then we're not going to be talking. And I also made it very clear to her that I was like, now, when I tell you all these things, I'm not saying this is going to be easy for you.
That's hard.
I was like, it's going to take you some time. I was like, however, you're hearing this information well before I got that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can at least help you to be aware of it, then you'll have more success overcoming it sooner than if you just flit about and gradually get hit over the head with it enough times that you get it. And she actually just graduated yesterday. So, first of all, side note, did not want to be up there.
Don't do that.
Go home. They had us up there, and then folks was talking to me real sideways, and I was like, "Don't make me flip every table over."
But you had that doctor gown and that hat on, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, honey. Yes.
That lady, and I was like, "Say one more thing. Say one more." I was like, "I'm only here for these kids. That's all I'm here for. I'm here for these graduates."
Over there with her whole doctorate. Let me tell y'all something. That doctorate cap and gown be real dope. I mean,
that was the most exciting part of getting.
I won't even lie. I think when I put on my master, when I got my master gown, I didn't know there was a difference at first in the master gown and the bachelor, you know, the undergrad. I was like, ain't no difference. And I was like, well, let me go look. I was like, oh, it's a difference.
Oh, well, now you got your little extra wings.
I got my little extra thing. And then now I'm looking at the doctor gown, like, well, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No. I saw that gown. And I was like, all right. I'm gonna wear it every single opportunity I get.
I mean, you absolutely earned it. But at the same time, something that you said is that we go, and I think, you talked about this before. We go through things, and it's not for us. And I think that's what we tend to gloss over. I hear the words, well, God, just get me out of it. Like, just get me out of it. No, baby, I'm gonna need you to get through it. And I learned that we have to change up our language.
Yes.
Because first of all, you're not gonna get out of it. Let it go. It ain't. You're gonna have to go through it. Yes. And then, so here's the one thing, and you tell me what you think. We be blaming God for it. We blame devil for everything. And I laugh because, well, you know, the devil. I mean, he be acting up. No, ma'am. You spoke that. You put it out there in the atmosphere. So, when we go through things, people don't realize that I've been teaching on freedom to my students. Mm-hmm. And when we go through things, we don't realize we have the freedom to choose.
Yes.
God give us the freedom to choose. And we seem to overlook that complex. As people say, I don't know why God let this happen. No.
Baby,
you have a choice. You made it.
You made a clear decision.
And so I laugh, like looking at folks going, wait, did you just say that? No, you chose. Now, I will go back to Job, where God and Satan had a conversation.
Yeah.
And I will say there are times where God will have a conversation with Satan. But then I think it was Pastor Mike Jr. really had me on it. He was like, think about it. He said God had a conversation with Satan about Job. And God told Satan, I know what he gonna do. And Satan was like, so you gonna give me him? Why him though? Nah, don't even worry about that though. Go ahead. You know, Satan a little slow. he was over there like, oh, okay. So
yeah,
you giving up one of your most loyal people? And he was like, yeah, but he was saying you can't touch him. You can't touch him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay. But then he hit me with the God had this conversation and Satan didn't question why God was having that conversation with him. And the reason why God had this conversation with him, because at the end of the day, God already knew he was going to bless him 2x fold. And that really messed with my whole soul, that everything I've gone through, God already knew he was going to bless me double for what I have already lost, because of the simple fact that, hey, I already know it was coming. I was already preparing you for it. So a lot of us do not realize some of the things that we are doing. First of all, it's not ordained by God. However, though, God do have a conversation with Satan. But okay, this is going to transpire. And Satan ain't smart enough to go, wait. You're choosing your most faithful people. And I think for me, the hardest thing I had to learn is, if Satan is not messing with you, you obviously not living right. Like we not living right if Satan ain't bothering us. If we going on, we partying, we drinking, and we living our best life. Probably want to question what we doing.
Something's wrong.
So I definitely, you know, I get you when we talk about, you know, when we got us in front of us. So like when you had that look, that young lady, that's us in front of us.
It is, and I mean, let's be very real. Had a few conversations with her over the past, what, 2 years?
So that'd be it. It's like you talking to yourself when you talking to them. You be like, dang it. Ooh, I heard this before.
I'm trying to save you from this girl. I was like, let me help you. Wait,
do you get frustrated? Because you be like, you not listening. And then you go back to yourself and go, that was me. Ooh.
Because it's the same with my daughter, that first of all, she's my clone.
That's the dangerous part right there. That's the dangerous part. She'll look like me and act like you.
And there have been times that I've been watching her do something and I'm about to go off and I'm like, you for sure did that to your mother. I remember the time you did it. And I was like, "Woo, all right, let me go ahead and rein my attitude back in, because
you about to go off on this call, baby, for no reason at all. Because guess what? We've been there, done that.
And I can't say that. Let's approach it differently.
You know what? I ain't even about to play with you right now, because you right. I just thought about some stuff. You right. Some things I just told the audience today. I took my child to get a whole ID card. Y'all, she called me old. But then but still, you know, we get to that.
These kids are wild, because they really be over here like, you were born in the 1900s? And I'm like,
girl! No. Like, hold on. Throw in when they tell you the late 1900s. You feel like, excuse me?
They're like, you can see. You can get out my house immediately.
All right, everybody. As we over here. I am over here with Dr. Truly Davis. We're having these conversations about uncomfortableness. Y'all, try not to cry because I'm laughing. But as you guys are listening, do know you can hear us right now on iamshatoria.podbean.com, along with you can listen to, you can also hear us on Google, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Pandora, you know, all the great places. And you can see us right here on YouTube at my channel, at the @ I am Shatoria. And so, like I said, I'm having this conversation and yeah, she's cracking me up. And we are talking about moving into self-comfortableness. And so I'm excited about this conversation, because we're talking about transparency and what it looks like. And so when I get back, y'all, in 30 seconds, maybe less, but I want to ask a question about walking past, because as we are talking about seeing people who act like we did, beforehand, now we got it in front of us. We got people acting like us in front of us, and we go, "Ooh, was that me?"
Yeah, I was like, "I did that."
Yes, did I do that? So we'll be back in 30 seconds, y'all, as we get ready to ask this question. All right, I'll see you guys in 30 seconds.
Authentic transparency, forgiveness to freedom. Come and read a story about my faith. Learn all about my forgiveness and forgiving of others, how I embrace the freedom that I currently have. You can get Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom at Amazon and iamshatoria.com.
So when we talk about paths that we walk, paths, my question to you is, what has been your greatest path to walk? And as you thinking about that question, because I saw your face early when I told you I was going to ask you this question.
Like, ooh, that's a good one.
Yes. What is the greatest path? And so here's the thing. I think a lot of people misconstrue paths that we walk as always a positive one.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it can be a two-part one if you need to be. But I always tell people it's not always... our greatest paths are not always our best path.
Yes.
And when we're in it at the moment, it don't seem like it's the path to walk at all. Like, it's like, no. But once you're out of it, you really got to see it. You go, oh, okay, cool things. I got it now. I'm there for it. So what is Truly's? Not Dr. Truly's. I want to know what Truly's great, what has been your greatest path to walk?
So it's not really two part. Like, it's like maybe one and a half part.
Okay.
Because it's definitely connected. If I had to sum it up in one sentence, I would say my greatest path to walk is the one of becoming the mom that I wanted. I do give my parents the grace of they were doing what they felt was best with what they had available.
That part.
However, full transparency, to this day, I do not like just call home just to like shoot the breeze. Like, I don't. That's not the type of relationship we have.
Okay.
Like, we'll every now and then call, check in, be like, hey, how are things? Okay, the kids are good. How's the weather over there? All right. All right, talk to you in a few weeks. Like, it's definitely not the, oh, I'm texting you every day, talking to you every day type of vibe. I learned early on in my life that due to, particularly with my mom, due to upbringing, that that type of relationship was not going to be possible. Mm-hmm. And even well into adulthood, as recent as even, this is 23, almost 2 years ago, that even just being honest in how I feel, honest that I found something offensive, honest in that, like, hey, you know, when you say this, like, that don't sit well. Like, hey, I don't like when you talk to the kids like this. Like, I know you're their grandmother, but also let's chill out a little bit.
Right.
And nothing would ever be received well. When I, each pregnancy, and this is like always one of the stories that I tell people, each pregnancy, first one was like, why? Second time was again. And the third one was, are you serious? And I was like, so by the third, I was like, you're just never going to say congratulations? Now, mm-hmm. mind you, I have their only grandkids. My brother didn't have any kids. So I'm just like, I provided you with all your grandchildren, and not a single time has it been congratulations. When I got accepted into the master's program, it was like, well, what about the kids? Like, who's going to take care of them? And I'm like, they have a whole other parent. Like, I don't understand what you're asking me. I was like, but I'm only going to be gone for a few weeks, and I kind of have to get the degree to keep my certification. So I'm confused. And the same with going into the PhD program. I was like, well, who's going to take care of them? I don't understand the question. Like, what do you?
I mean, I'm confused. I mean, we are like, you ain't got parents around here. We it.
And by the PhD, my parents were like living with us. And I'm like, literally, y'all are here. So if their father isn't taking care of them, you are here. Like, you can be like, you know what? You ain't feeding these babies enough. I'm going to just go ahead, slide them something to eat. Like,
you know, grandparents, you know, we.
Like, so I was, there were options, but
I'd be real quick.
Like, that was always the dynamic. So with my kids, especially my daughter, she always jokes that she's the favorite, and I have to remind her to stop saying that.
She had what she say. Y'all ain't about to change her mind. Y'all better leave her alone. No,
she insists, but particularly with her, I am always very conscious of how I talk to her. Mm-hmm. There have been times that, like, I've gone pure off on everybody, and like, I'll circle back and apologize to them because I'm like, you know what? I'm still mad. I was like, I ain't gonna hold you. I feel how I feel about it. However, I didn't need to talk to you like that. I didn't need to say the things that I said. So I do apologize. Okay, so now let me explain to you why I'm so upset about this and what my expectations are moving forward. And so, like, it's funny because she will blow up my phone all day, every day. I'm like, are you not in school? Why are you texting me? Like, what are we doing? But then also I will smooth text her back and be holding the whole conversation. And then I'm like, what?
No one's supposed to be in class. See, you that teacher, I'm about to fight. See?
I couldn't stand when them kids would be in my room, and I'm for real that parent. But I'm like, well, girl, what class you in? She's like, oh, I'm in computer science. Go back to class. Like, stop talking to me. But we communicate significantly better than me and my mom. Significantly. There are things that I would never say to her that my mom has said to me, particularly around weight, appearance, stuff like that, that I might, and the unrealistic expectation of perfection. That I'm like, I grew up that a C, you may as well have failed. A B, why didn't you get an A? And if you got an A, it was like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do, what you want. And like, nothing was ever good enough. And I'm like, I don't want y'all, like, would I love for you to have like A's and B's? Yes, I would. Like, I would love for you to have great grades. However, that's not gonna dictate how much I care for you, how I care for you. It's not going to make me question how intelligent you are. I was like, I tell them all the time, I was like, I don't care what your grades say. I know I have intelligent children. I was like, that's not the problem. The problem is something's not connecting for you. So let's figure that out. Right. Instead of me just making a blanket statement about it.
Yep.
So it was now mind you, to be fair, the oldest is 6 years older than the princess and 8 years older than the baby. So the little two are 2 years apart. The oldest caught some of those behaviors that I grew up with. Because I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. First of all, no business having a kid right then. I look at him today and I'm like, you're like last year when he turned 20, I was like, you're the age I was when I had you. And you are not prepared to have anybody. Like, you could not be a parent. What was I doing? I was like, boy, I kept you alive though, didn't I? You made it.
What I say, you didn't die. Then what?
No, and like he's an amazing young man, like so sweet. But I remember there were a lot of things that I did because like older family members were like, well, this is what you're supposed to be doing, this is how you do it. Like, don't hold that baby all the time, he's gonna be spoiled. And I'm like, once the younger ones came, I was like, first of all, they only gonna be small for a minute. So me loving them too much, so you say don't love them too much is what you're telling me. I'm like, that's
actually. I can't say that because I'd be like, if y'all don't put that boy down.
I'm like.
Because he be screaming. I don't even do the spoil part. No, put him down because he going to want you to hold him all day.
And they be like that. And I'm like, within reason, I agree. But when I say it was overkill. Ooh. And I'm just like, oh my God. I was like, okay. So, but I did what I was told. And I know for him, it had to be wild seeing the younger two because they had a different upbringing. Because by then, I'm starting to kind of figure things out on my own. And then once they were like school age, I was definitely of a different mindset. And so, you know, I did some damage control on him. But he's also very, what's the word? Like accepting that if you're just like, okay, I'm sorry, I did X, Y, Z, not going to do that no more. Now we're going to do this. He's like, okay.
Well, I think too, he, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like he grew up with you.
He
grew up with you because, and your mom sounds a lot like my grandmother. and I was raised by my grandmother. So, you know, and so I definitely get you when it comes down to like parenting different.
Yeah.
And my students, I've actually had my students ask me, Miss Christian, how do you parent your daughter? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, how do you conversate? I was like, we conversate. Yeah. But what do you mean? Like, no, we have conversation. I ask her, she is very big of, Mommy, how was your day? How was your students today? Did they get on your nerve today? What did they say, Mama? Or if I had a rough day, you know, Mama had a rough day, Mom, what happened? Like, she wants to know what happened. Like, what made your day rough? I'm like, oh, and I'm like, Janelle, how was your day? Mom, it was so cool. Let me tell you why. And so, you know, we have those conversations. I believe in converse. I believe in communication.
Yes.
At this point, even though she's 9, I need to have that communication because what I don't need is her to leave or as she gets older and people be having certain conversations with her. You be like, no. I will say my most transparent moment for me as a mom, especially to a girl, I've never got taught about the conversation about cycles and sex. And because for me, and I wrote it in my book, I saw it. I didn't get taught. Yes. So now I'm at that stage where I got to have this conversation.
It's so terrible.
It is absolutely the most. Let me tell you,
the first time with it, I was like, girl.
Man, let me tell you, my husband had a conversation with Jamarian, and he's looking at me talking about, you got this with Janae. And I'm going, what? What? And he's like actually excited that I retired before Janae started going into this womanhood aspect. And I'm like, what you want me to do? So y'all may be laughing out there at me, but I am reading books. I am reaching out to people. I'm like, hey, how do I have this conversation with a child that is, first of all, very green. Mm-hmm. She's still a kid in her mind. Yeah. She's nine. Even though she's in the fourth grade, she's one of the youngest in her class. Because she has an early birthday. Her birthday's in June. So like, all her classmates 10 already, you know. She over here like, I'm still playing with Barbies. I don't know what y'all talking about. Like, she still plays with Barbies. And she's still in the, that's my girlfriend right there. That's my homie. Yeah, like, she doesn't see wrongness in people. And you want me to have a conversation about cycles with her? Look here. I don't know what to do this.
Yeah, no, it's not fun. It doesn't get any more fun, at least not for me.
No, it's not fun for me. Like, I took her to Barnes & Noble's last week, and I picked up this book about bodies. I was like, okay, Janae. So we're reading the book, we're going through it, and I'm like, oh my God, am I even explaining this right? And so, yeah. So I get with you when you say parent differently, because my grandmother sounds just like your mother. We didn't say I love you in our household. My grandparents was okay with a B and an A. I will say that, but we were strict. It wasn't no go out with your friends. People was like, how you live with your grandmama? She's so strict. We didn't have social media at that time. And, you know, we didn't have cell phones. So it was scared to get pregnant. So scared, you know. First of all, back then with my grandma, and this is 90s, because I'm class of 01. So it was, I wish you would smack your teeth, roll your eyes. I wish you would. Because that was, I wish you would say, huh, or what.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, don't ever tell anyone to shut up. It don't matter who you're talking to.
Who? And then it was that thing. So we had the phone, you know, the house phone, landline connected to the wall. And I remember back at the end of the day, I'd be back in my room on it. And this is before the cordless came out. My grandma would pull it. And you'd be like, I just got on it for 5 minutes. And then TV time was so different back then, because we didn't have like that. And now I'm over here being that parent going, what? Girl, go watch. Yes. Go watch Roblox.
Like, oh, go watch something, Chad.
Go watch something. We didn't have that then. So I agree with you when you say, because I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah.
As, you know, my son was definitely different. Because me and Ron got married, Jamarian was 4. So that was different. Janae is definitely a different type of breed of a kid. She's definitely me and my husband. And she changed up course real quick. She know how, like when I say green, y'all, I mean green. I know the lie, we told her Santa wasn't real, and OMG. I know people would say, why it took us so long. I have a green kid. She is literally like a, and you know, I also look at what the Bible says, you know, about corrupting children innocent. So I'm very careful with what I say and when I say it, and I got to make sure she's maturity ready. So I definitely get when you say as a parent to your son, and you definitely treat the kid. Because my son do tell Janae, Jamar tells Janae all the time, he's like, man, you lucky. Because mom and dad didn't let me do such and such. And no, I didn't get to do that. And I ain't gonna lie, I think it's because she's a girl. Because dad be like, you know what? Sure, you can miss school today. What? Jamari wasn't missing no school?
Let me tell you, because that thing be so real. I was like, y'all going to school every day, though.
And I laugh because you know what? I'm at a point to... And tell me as a parent, give me your thought process. The times are very different.
Yes.
Mental awareness is very, very different. Compared to when we were in school, you know, like you said, it was, you go to school. Yeah. I don't care if your head hurt. You can be on your cycle. I don't care. You're going to school. And you're like, well, I don't feel well. You're like, oh, okay. I remember going to school with my sweatpants on. You figure it out. You don't, you cramping, take this medicine, go about your business.
Yep.
I wish you would miss that bus. Try if you want to. But one of the biggest things that you said was, you come home with a C. Why it ain't no C? Why it ain't no B? I truly understand that now, because with my daughter, I have this rule with her with math, and I go, okay, the lowest you could break in for math is a 75, because I know that's a struggle for her. So like, you, I know she's intelligent. Girl can read.
Yeah.
But when I get star scores back and say, okay, she's below average, I won't lie, I have that mom get, I'm like, I'm confused. And I'm realizing, no, not that she can't read or whatever. It's just that some things are just not clicking the fastest as the school wants it to click when it needs to click. And she needs a slower pace. And I'm like, it's helping me figure out, okay, what is best for you?
Yes.
What's the best for you? Because for me at fourth grade, I'm sorry, my mom was a drug addict. So it wasn't that, like, your mom and your mom relationship literally was mine. There was just an absolutely no, none. I couldn't read, couldn't tie a shoe, couldn't tell a time by fourth grade. I was 10. I couldn't do a lot of that until about fifth grade. Reading was always my struggle, period. I don't even know how I'm an author now. It was always my struggle. Just, and I teach ELA. Go figure.
Look, testimony.
Out of all things. Yeah. But I look at it and I'm like, ooh. So, you know, so one of the things that I do want to ask you with that, because I talk about it in my book, one of the biggest things is me and my mom, we had to have the deepest, dopest conversation. And that was hard. But God really had to show me that she was ready to receive. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I did ask God, well, what if she's not ready to receive? God said, it's not your worry. I was like, oh. And so have you ever thought about just really having that conversation and prepared yourself for no apology, no nothing, just prepared to just say what you have to say so you can go and be in forgiveness with that?
I have thought about it. And then at the time when I was thinking about it, I had the wherewithal that I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both I wasn't ready and I wasn't willing to put in the work to be ready.
Oh, that's the difference.
And so when we all moved out of the house, it was during the, when me and my ex were separating. So my parents didn't know that we were separating. I don't know how they didn't know. We literally were all in the same house. And it came up in a conversation later, but they didn't know. And I remember, like, we're trying to pack. Now, my mom had been on some, she ready to move. And I'm like, ma'am, we cannot afford this house without you. So everybody has to move then. Like, that ain't gonna work. And we were in the process of packing stuff up. And I went to go ask her for something. And I remember we got into it. Like, we started, and now I've never spoken to her like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I yelled at her and, like, wasn't cursing, wasn't saying anything real crazy, but I for sure remember saying, I am doing the best that I can, and it is just never good enough for you, is it? Stop talking to me then. I just said, now that was reckless, but.
Like, you got a whole death wish, didn't you?
Like, there were some other words in there that wanted to come out, and I was like, okay, but also don't cross that line. Your daddy right there.
But then be like, hold on. You talking to my wife now, don't play that.
I was like, we don't want that smoke. We're going to let, we'll leave it there. But I remember thinking after that I was like, we should have had a conversation before now, because yeah. We did not speak for a few months after. Like, my daddy would check in on me. And so in the midst of all of this, separation, divorce starting. So we sell that house. My parents are like, they were buying a house in Tennessee. That's where they are now. But that was getting still finished up. So they couldn't go yet. So they're staying at a hotel. My ex is staying with his family because he's from Maryland. And so then it's me. And I'm like, where am I supposed to go? So okay, so my current husband, he hates that I say this, but I'm like, low-key, high-key, I was technically homeless for a month there. He's like, you weren't homeless. He's like, we just had a really long sleepover. I was like, sir, All of my stuff was in storage. I was living out of a suitcase.
But I mean, you were homeless, though. I mean,
I had no home to call mine.
Okay.
He was like, okay, but you have somewhere to go. And I was like, and I'm forever thankful, and I love you so much. But don't downplay the fact that I really, if I was not with him, I would not have had anywhere to go. Like, I would have had to stay, try to stay at a hotel. And, you know, we had the money from eventually had the money from the sale of the house. Mm-hmm. And it was at that signing that my mom found out that we were separating. Because the person that had us signing, I was like, you could have sent this in an email. You have to say this right now. Because my mama, when I said she cut her eyes at me across that table, this man asked, he was like, okay, so we're splitting the check three ways, right? I need each of you to write down what address is being sent to. And she looked. And I'm looking straight ahead. I'm like, I'm not going to even look over there. I'm not going to make eye contact with you. Because now's not the time. I want to have this conversation in front of this. I don't know this man. Like, I don't want to have it. So we all fill it out. And then he reads off the addresses. And it's three very clearly different addresses. And she looks again. And I'm just like, we're here now. We're signing this paperwork. Like, we have sold this house. Everybody getting their third of the whole big check. And just go about your business. So fast forward to December of last year, because this is 23 right now. Mm-hmm. So all of this was happening the beginning of last year, like the top of 22 is when this was all happening. Like, this is not far ago in my life. Like, this is last calendar year. So Christmas comes and I'm there. I have the kids were with me and my now husband, we were dating at the time. He ended up proposing to me January 1st of this year. And while we were down there, he asked my parents for permission. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Look at you. That's so adorable. So
I was like, how'd that go?
So I'm down there. Girl, my mama corners me in the kitchen and she was like, why didn't you ever say anything? And at least in that moment, I was like, okay, I think I can say this professionally and not cause a problem. I was like, because we don't have that relationship. Mm. I was like, there was no need for me to tell you. What was that going to do? We don't have the just sit and talk relationship. I was like, and me telling you would have added more stress to the situation of us trying to get out, because I knew what the response would have been. My family is very big on you don't get divorced. That's not what we do. You figure it out, suck it up. And I was like, I've been sucking it up for almost 20 years. I'm tired. I don't want to suck it up no more. And I want these kids to not think that this is what their life is supposed to be when they get married.
So you out here you out here working to break the generational curses.
Yes.
And at the same time, still keep that bond. But now here's my question. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out how to say this. This is kind of like our last question. But here, when you look at the relationship with your mom, because, you know, let's be honest, this life is short. And so one of the things that I will say, having that conversation with my mom was perfect timing. Mm-hmm. As I won't lie, one of the things someone told me was I needed to be able to have the conversation. And if I did not get an apology, I need to accept the fact I wasn't going to get one to get my freedom. At what point do you think you need your freedom? Totally.
Child, look, I probably needed it a few years back. Needed it a minute ago. It's funny because my therapist, she, even though her practice isn't faith-based, she is a Christian. Mm-hmm. She for sure has asked me this before, and I was just like,
oh, so this is a recurring request. And for everybody to know, this is never Jesus, because I'm just, we ain't talked about this when we had our pre-conversation, guys. So I'm asking, even though I'm going longer than what I used to, I'm asking questions Jesus told me to ask. So look here.
Yeah.
And this is crazy because it's like putting you on blast, but not really, but I'm doing what I'm told. Look, I always move the way God tell me to do. But here's the thing. I don't want you to miss out on your freedom.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we've talked already about things you're trying to do. But do you think that you are set behind because you still have not done some things, i.e. forgive and gain your freedom that you needed, even if she never gives you an apology?
I think, like, yes, in a way, because I know that that's probably, not probably, let me not say it that way. I know that that's a part of my story. And I know that my story is part of, a huge part of what it is that draws people to me and how I'm able to serve them the way that I'm called to serve. I will say we have had conversations, but like the
real conversation,
like the conversation. Do I foresee that happening in the near future? Not the near one.
So let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer. It could just be something you think about as we get ready to end. I want you to think about this. What are you afraid of?
Very much still a people pleaser. Very much so.
That's realness right there. Like, I, first of all, I appreciate your transparency on that because I've been there. I know what it is. You walk around here, you pleasing people, and you scared because you feel like once I put that foot down,
like, that's it.
Right. And I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that helped me get through that. I had to learn that I said it in my the new issue of Videl magazine as I wrote an open letter to my mother as my mother passed while I was pregnant in 2014. And the biggest thing I had to say was, you know, I told my mom, I said I had her absence I needed in order to heal. And that was the hardest thing. But the biggest thing, and I wrote it in my book, is I think it's chapter 18. No, 17. I talked about how I had my mom for 9 months. From the time me and my mom talked until her death, it was 9 months. And my mom carried me for 9 months, pregnant, you know, all that fun stuff. But I realized she carried me for 9 more months before she passed. Just not physically, but spiritually. And so one of the biggest things, I just want you to pray about it. Because what I don't want you to lose out on the opportunity to tell how you feel because you're worried. Because one of the things I learned from God, he starts to take people away from us when we start to depend on them and their desire for us. And just with a few conversations me and you have, oh my God, God got so much greatness for you. You are ready to break a generational curse. But this is one of the biggest generational curses you're going to have to break because you're going to forever keep being in bondage, trying to be that mom, that wife, that sister. And the hardest part about this, and I'm going to say it, and I probably get some backlash for it, and it's quite okay. One of the things I had to learn, and I talked about this on one of my other podcasts, is that family, it's not always blood.
Sure. Yeah.
I had to learn the hard way leaving, going into the military. Family's not always blood. And people keep wrapping their head around, but that's my blood relatives. If we're really going to be technical about it, we all technically related blood-wise. Because if we go all the way back, it started with Cain and Abel. And if we be honest, when the world got destroyed and it was just Noah and his wife and his children, the line started again. So, related anyway, so just saying. So you know, the biggest thing I want you to remember is that you are great. You are great. You're powerful. You are beautiful. God got things for you, and so I don't want you to leave that space worrying about other people because anybody taking care of you but God. And God has truly blessed you with a, you know, a great husband now. You out here living living dreams at this point. And I will say you have been stepping out on faith, even with the last conversation that we had. You stepping out on faith and I'm proud of it. You over here like, okay, here we go. So I'm really proud of you. So I'm going to leave you with that. I wasn't even expecting the conversation to even go that way. But you know.
Hey, we here.
Girl, yes, I hope. Everybody who's still listening, you know, our bad. Y'all, she's so cool, ain't she though? All right, so to stay in contact with this beautiful queen right here, y'all got her information on their IG. her IG, her Facebook, and her email. And for those that are listening to me, you can go into the description and you will see her information on there. And please contact her, as she is a professor out at Bowie University in Maryland. She's out here living her best life. She is definitely into dancing. So y'all holler at her.
And I have to get accustomed to this shift, is I'm also a life coach.
Oh, okay. For people who need help with their life. I'm just saying. And hey, if you look at her Facebook, it says Creative Consulting. So y'all, you call her and let her know. Hit me up and I'll send you her info, you know, if y'all ain't paying attention to this thing. But no, I appreciate you being on here with me today, having a great time, honey bunches. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Now stay online, don't go anywhere, okay? We'll be right back with you. But to all of my wonderful individuals, thank you guys for joining me today. Do know you can see me right here at YouTube at I Am Shatoria, but you can also hear me at iamshatoria.popbean.com, Google, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, Apple, you name it, we're there. And also, you know, you can get my items, my book, I Am Forgiveness of Freedom, at iamshatoria.com in the merch. And you know, we got events coming up. So please, please, please make sure you're getting your tickets and not missing out. It is definitely a great conversation today, as we talked about moving into self-uncomfortableness, y'all. Like, that is like really, really dope. So you see this title, I mean, it's okay to go back and rewatch it again and again and again and again. Okay. Now, as I always say, as we get ready to roll out here today, we're going to walk in love, live fearlessly, and have a whole lot of faith. You know how I do. So I pray you guys really, really enjoy your time. As I said before, get ready for February, as we're about to act a whole fool for February. I will be going through my book in February. We're going to be hitting chapters and having conversations, especially for those who's already read it. So do know that I love you guys, and you guys are awesome. I love you always, and I pray you have a blessed one. Talk to you later.